Alhamdulillahi kafa. Assalamu ala ibadillahi kafa wa ba'd. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi rahmah. Wa qad qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: "Man nafasa 'an mu'minin min kurbatin min kurbi ad-dunya nafasa Allahu 'anhu kurbatan min kurbi yawm al-qiyamah." ومن يسر على معسر يسر في الدنيا يسر الله في الدنيا والآخرة ومن ستر مسلما ستر الله في الدنيا والآخرة الله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to come for Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla that He, by the virtue of this Jumu'ah, He forgive all of our sins. He raise us in status in this life and the hereafter. He make it easy on all the Muslims, all of the world who are suffering, and give them the solutions they need for all their problems. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We are continuing our discussion on kindness and establishing a good brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam. One specific point that I wanted to target for today, inshallah ta'ala, was is the concept of dealing with youngsters or the youth, specifically kindness towards them, and how to help them integrate into our communities in a better way, inshallah ta'ala. And so in a nutshell, when it comes to youth in a nutshell, Shabab, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he praised it so much. He praised it so much. He said that you should take advantage of five things before five things. He says, for example, take advantage of sickness, of health before sickness. Take advantage of your prosperity before your poverty. Take advantage of your life before your death. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Shababika qabla haramik," that you should take advantage of your youth before you become old. It's something very important to take in consideration. The questions of the Day of Judgment are, in a nutshell, about five of them. The Prophet ﷺ, in a beautiful hadith, he explains them. He says that Allah Ta'ala will not let a person leave or move from their spot until they're asked about these things. And so, عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهُ وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said two of the questions are pertaining to what? Number one is that Allah Ta'ala will ask him about their life. What did they use their life for? And the next question is, on their youth, what did they use their youth for? So two questions legitimately just about life, about a person's youth. The Prophet ﷺ also praised the youth. He said, a person in their young age, if they were to worship Allah Ta'ala and be consistent in the worship, on the Day of Judgment, when there's no shade for 50,000 years long, that time that will go by, that he's waiting under the sun, which is about a mile's distance from his head. On that day, if a person while they're young, they worship Allah Ta'ala, she maintains her hijab, she maintains her modesty. The brothers, they work on themselves, they build their deen and their Islam. They come to the masjid of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promised them that what? They'll be under the shade of Allah Ta'ala's arsh, inshallah ta'ala. And that's a very important maqam, very important daraja. And that's just what? Just the regular youth. And then you have at the end of times, which is a completely different scenario. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised it so much. So much, to the point that you and I would feel like, wow, this is a good thing that we're at the end of times. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, and Allah Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala took out all the creation from the back of Adam alayhi salam, all the human beings from the back of Adam alayhi salam, He took out all of his progeny to the Day of Judgment. And Adam alayhi salam was looking at all of their faces. And he sees one which face with his chamak, you know, it's enlightened and it's bright. And Allah Ta'ala, and Nabi Adam alayhi salam asks Allah, he says, "Ya Allah, who is this man, who this one of my sons who has this bright face?" Allah Ta'ala says, "This is one of your sons from the end of times, Dawood alayhi salam. This is one of your sons from the end of times, Dawood alayhi salam." If Dawood alayhi salam is at the end of times, you and I are in overtime right now. Okay, Dawood alayhi salam was thousands of years ago. And so what we are reaching right now is near the end of times. Nabi alayhi salam praised the Muslimin of the end of times so much. He says, "Tuba liman ra'ani wa lam yu'min liman amana bi wa lam yarani." The Prophet alayhi salam said, "Glad tidings to the one who has not seen me, but he believes in me." The Prophet ﷺ, he said that, "I wish to see my brothers." Sahaba radiallahu said, "Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "You are my companions. My brothers are those who believe in me without seeing me." This is about us. There are many hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ. He says so beautifully. He tells the Sahaba that anyone who makes amal on the day, at the end of times, that they practice Islam in the difficult times. Nabi ﷺ said they'll get the reward of 50 people. And the Sahaba radiallahu were very worried. They say, "Ya Rasulullah, khamsina minhum." You're talking about 50 from them, right? Meaning from 50 of the end of times people. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, "La, khamsina minkum." It's hadith of Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, not 50 of the end of times. 50 of you Sahaba. 50 of you Sahaba. Because there is a real big reason here. You and I have not seen Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. You and I are desirous of meeting him. We are desirous of meeting Allah Ta'ala. We haven't seen the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but we're establishing deen 1400 years after him alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a big deal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So couple all these things together. And I always remind myself and everyone here that every single place in the saf, for every single person who comes to the saf, you are iqamatu salah, you're building the prayer. Never ever think that if I don't come, it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. We don't have like masajid back home where you have 50, 60 people praying for every single salah. When you come for salah here, you literally are filling up a maqam. If you have 10 people, you're 1/10 of the people in the masjid, mashallah. That's what it is. You get a very big maqam by Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us hidayah and tawfiq. So the youth is very important. Nabi alayhi salam stressed it. He stressed it so much. And he encouraged people to practice Islam when they're younger. Because when you practice Islam while you're younger, automatically when you get older, inshallah, you'll be able to manage everything. It's just about what? You can shoot 100 shots in one day and not practice the entire year. You won't be a really good ball player. But if you practice maybe 10 shots every single day, you'll be able to find that you'll make progress. Similarly, a person who practices Islam when they're younger, they'll find that when they practice Islam when they're older, because they've been doing it consistently and regularly, they find it very easy for them, inshallah ta'ala. So youth is very important, but they have to be taught and educated. Now, youngsters in Islam is age. If you look in the books of Arabic ma'ajim, if you look in the Arabic dictionaries, you'll find that the shabab is up to age 40. So, mashallah, it gives us a lot of enthusiasm. And one riwayah comes 60 years old, mashallah. That's like everyone here, mashallah. So, but in focusing on the youth that are being raised in America and our responsibility towards them, they need to be taught Islam. And they need to be taught how to do khidma. They need to be taught how to give service and help others. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Kuntum khayra ummah ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of mankind. You are the best of mankind. Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I here are the best of mankind, ukhrijat linnas, because we were taken out for the benefit of mankind. Because we help people. Because we help people. Allah Ta'ala says, you and I are the best. If we don't help people, then we are taken out of this category. We have to remind ourselves that this is the important factor which makes us the best. Khidmah is so big. It's so big to help people. There's a hadith that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was performing i'tikaf. He was performing i'tikaf in the masjid of Allah, of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while he was performing i'tikaf, it was a nafil i'tikaf, it was an extra i'tikaf. He was doing outside of the i'tikaf of Ramadan. And while he was in the masjid, he heard that one person needed some help. He heard that one person needed some help. And so he got up from his i'tikaf and he left i'tikaf. Mind you, i'tikaf is such a great reward. We know the reward of it. What? Is that if you do one day i'tikaf in the masjid, you're going to get the reward as if on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will put between you and Jahannam the distance of 3 trenches. Each trench is the distance between the world and the sky. It's a huge trench. You'll be separated from Jahannam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu abandons the i'tikaf to go help out his Muslim brother. And they say, why did you leave your i'tikaf for this? He said, look, I know i'tikaf is very big. I know it's very big. And he quotes this hadith, the one about 3 trenches. But he says, but helping a Muslim brother, Allah Ta'ala will take care of 73 needs of yours. One need in this world, 72 of them in the hereafter. Just because you help someone. It's a big thing. مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ عَنْ كُرْبَةٍ مِنْ كُرْبِ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever helps alleviate, نَفَّسَ, helps them breathe. Like quite literally, help them breathe. Because sometimes you have such a big problem, right? That you feel like your chest is constricted. It's like you can't even breathe properly anymore because you're so worried about something. And there comes this Muslim brother who helps you out. He gives you $100 to help you with your rent. He helps you with this. He helps you with that. He watches your family. If you go out somewhere, he provides for you. He takes care of you. مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ. Right, he just takes care of some issue, small little issue. نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرْبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That Allah Ta'ala will take care for that person who helped another Muslim brother. Allah Ta'ala will help that person on the Day of Judgment. He'll take away one problem. He'll take away one problem. And then the hadith continues: وَمَنْ يَسْتَرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ. Whoever helps someone who has a debt on them, and he gives them some more time to pay back their debt. And this is a very big amal in deen. That even people who have no good deeds, this is a very big good deed in front of Allah Ta'ala. That if someone has a debt on you, you just say, oh, I'll give you more time. You do this, Allah Ta'ala, what does He say? Your debts of your sins on the Day of Judgment, I'll let it go. I will let it go. Subhanallah. This is what we're talking about. And it's not even fit akhirah only. The hadith says fit dunya wal akhirah. You have any issues in this world, if you just help people alleviate their debts, you give them more time, Allah will give you something in here and hereafter, inshallah. And then the hadith says, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ عَلَى مُسْلِمِينَ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And whoever conceals a Muslim's faults, a Muslim's sins, he doesn't want to expose it to other people, he protects them. Then what happens? Allah will protect that person, he will veil them in this life and hereafter. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيمٍ. So beautiful. Nabi alayhi salam said that Allah will be in your assistance as long as you are assisting someone else. Allah will help you as long as you're helping someone else. Every single day we should consider for ourselves that we give 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in the day just to see if we can help somebody out. Just help someone out, because in that time that you're helping someone, Allah is helping you. You have a bad exam. You didn't study at all for this exam. You were terrible at physics. You were terrible at biology or whatever, you know, whatever study field you're in. And you just can't get this like material. Go help someone. Just go help someone. Because Allah will help you. He's the one who controls your brain. He controls your memory. He controls the exam. He knows the questions before you know the questions. You just need to what? You just need to help somebody out. You help someone, Allah will be in your assistance. And it's what? It's for there's so many ways. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever plants a tree, whatever shade that tree provides, whatever fruits that tree provides, whatever nourishment that tree provides, whatever air that tree provides, you will get the reward of all of those things. And the day of judgment, that's all yours. The hadith of the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you feed an animal, you get sadaqah for it. It's a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that you can take care of the orphans, you can take care of the widows, you can take care of the poor. Or and Allah Ta'ala says, "Ala nafsi yatima wa asira wa yatima miskina wa yatima wa asira." That you help out the poor, you help out the prisoners, you help out the orphans. There's so many people to help, and this is what I want to focus on today, inshallah Ta'ala. That many of the youth want to help the Masjid of Allah. Many of the youth want to help the Masjid of Allah. And I'm speaking directly now to our volunteers and the members who are very much intertwined in helping the Masjid. There are many youngsters that want to help out the Masjid as well. And I want everyone to consider this point, inshallah. There is a young kid, maybe 10 years old, 9 years old, you know, 8 years old. And I've been dealing with these kids for about 3 years now. And I've been developing and I've been training, I've been raising, you know, like the same way you raised them. I'm working on this tarbiyah as well. To help them to what? To want to help out the Masjid of Allah. And they feel very encouraged to do so. They feel very encouraged to do so. Now what happens is what? Sometimes we just throw them away. We just say, no, you can't help out in the setup area. You can't help out in the hall. The door is locked for you. And then what happens? This kid who's enthusiastic about deen, who loves to help out the Masjid of Allah. This is literally the goal. You bring imams up for what? So that the youth can come to the Masjid. And now this kid wants to help the Masjid of Allah. He really wants to do khidmah. He wants to take care of the Masjid. And then what happens? The door is locked for him. The door is locked for him. So then what happens to this kid? You lock the door once, lock the door twice, 3 times, yell at him, scream at him, make fun of him, insult him. Then one day he just doesn't want to do it anymore. He just does not want to do it anymore. Then 10 years go by, 20 years go by, 30 years go by. This kid is smoking hookah, he's you know, doing drugs, he's in, you know, wherever he is. He doesn't come to the masjid anymore. He doesn't have any association with this place at all. And then people are saying, what did we do wrong? The problem is this, that a little kid can pick up a gallon of water, right? A little kid can take out the trash with you, right? A little kid can help sweep up. A little kid can lay down the mats. A little kid can do a lot of things if you just watch them and supervise them. And they'll never get it right. They'll never get it right. They'll put the gallon in the wrong place. Every single time. They'll put the mats like horizontal and supposed to be vertical. They'll do everything wrong. And your job as the adult, as my job as the adult, we're just supposed to fix it. And smile and say, good job. You did a great job. I hope you come again. And then next week they'll come again. And next week they'll come again. What happens is, if we don't do this, then what happens is, you and I who are doing khidmah for the masjid, how long can we do khidmah for? MashaAllah, we're doing it now. 10 years will go by. 20 years will go by. 30 years will go by. Age is going to hit us eventually. We're going to get old eventually. We're going to get brittle eventually. We're not going to be able to do it. And then we're going to look for the youth. Where are they? And they're not here anymore. They're just not here anymore. And this is the problem that we're facing. We're thinking that the masjid is run by adults only. The masjid is not run by adults only. It's run by youth as well. Many of the parents, they bring themselves to the masjid. And they don't bring their kids who are off on summer break. And this is a very wrong concept. Then the kid doesn't understand that you don't come to the masjid. He understands then, therefore, you don't come to the masjid at all. It's all good. No problem. Because why? Because my dad doesn't tell me to go when I'm in school. The dad doesn't tell me to go when I'm outside of school. So therefore, I don't have to go at all. Very easy. Or what? That we teach them that only in Ramadan that we go to the masjid. And after Ramadan we don't come anymore. And then what do we teach them? That, no, you know what? You don't have to pray in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can just pray at home. The Prophet ﷺ, and I just put this as a reminder for myself. It's a very powerful and strong and scary reminder. Nabi ﷺ said, I wish I could leave someone to go lead the prayer. And I would personally go out to go find those places where people are praying at home, making jama'ah at home. And I would like to take like fire and I like to burn their houses down. And I'm just reminding that because I'm scared of this hadith as much as everyone else that just heard it right now. Because it's a very terrifying reminder that it's what? That masajid are built for people to pray here. Right? And if kids have time, they should be brought to the masjid and praying here. That way they have an adha they have a good habit of praying here. Or else they'll never develop it. And then we consider ourselves that we look at them 20 years later and we're like, where did they go? Where did they all go? And we lost a generation. Unfortunately, we lost a generation. Because of whatever nuqsan, whatever deficiencies we have, we lost a generation. There's a younger generation that's being raised now. And you and I have to build them and make them grow and allow them to come. Youth in Islam are very powerful. They have a lot of hidayah built into them. Because Allah loves them so much. When the Prophet ﷺ needed to send someone to Medina to teach Medina, he didn't say, Abu Bakr, you go. Umar, you go. Uthman, you go. Ali, you go. No. He took one boy, 17 years old, 18 years old, Mus'ab. Come here, Mus'ab. Mus'ab was a boy who had all the luxuries in the world. Everything you could imagine, he had it. The clothing that he had, he wouldn't even wear the same jubba twice. He would wear one, and the other, then he would never wear it again. The most luxurious kicks he had, the most luxurious turban he had, everything about him was so stylish. And every single woman wanted to marry him. Then he heard one bayan of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of that, he accepted Islam. And after that, he abandoned everything. His mother abandoned him. He didn't live his life of luxury anymore. When he died, he didn't have enough clothes to cover himself. His coffin wasn't big enough to cover his entire body, subhanAllah. And Mus'ab radiallahu anhu was chosen by Nabi alayhi sallam. You go to Medina, you teach them Islam. You teach them Quran and Islam. Mus'ab, he was known to have character like Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His character was so profound. He goes to Medina. He gives da'wah to the people. He gives da'wah to the big leaders in the community. They accept Islam. They go back to the tribes. The entire tribes accept Islam. They said by the entire nightfall came, entire Medina was basically Muslim. This is because of one young boy, Mus'ab, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was the son of Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was like the foster son of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet loved Zayd radiallahu anhu so much. So Usama was like his grandson in a certain sense, not in the direct sense. Usama radiallahu anhu, at 17 years old, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you're going to command an army. You're going to lead an army to go out and fight. These youth are very great in Islam. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he's with the wife of the minister, and this is a story, a very powerful story for every single youngster that's suffering. He has a boyfriend, she has a boyfriend situation, he has a girlfriend situation. He has an issue to leave these things, and you have to leave these things. Do not ever convince yourself that it's halal to do these things. It's never halal. You should always remind yourself it's a sin, and I have to get rid of it as fast as I can. The wife of the minister, she loves Yusuf alayhi salam because he's so attractive. So then she locks all the ghallaqatil abuwab. She closes all the doors, and the ghallaqa is the emphasized form in Islam, in Arabic. So she closes the doors, she closes the windows, she puts the curtains up, she does everything so that no one can see what she's about to do with this boy, Yusuf alayhi salam. So then she tells Yusuf, and Yusuf is her servant, her slave at that time. And in that time, if the minister's wife wanted to do anything with the slave, no one could complain. It's not a big deal. Yusuf is not even in his hometown anymore. His hometown was Canaan, and he's in Egypt. No, he's not even in his hometown. His mom and dad aren't even there. He has nothing to worry about. No one even knows him in the community and society. If he were to do this type of sin, there's literally no societal backlash for him. There's no issue at all for whatever he sees in society. So she closes the doors, and she is attracted to him. So she says, "Hay talak, come Yusuf, come." And Yusuf alayhi salam, at that moment, he goes to what we call the happy place. Ma'azallah. He tells himself, "Oh, I seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala. I know that no one is watching me right now, but Allah Ta'ala is watching me right now." And because of that feeling in his heart, he says, "I cannot do something that you're about to make me do right now." He says, "Allah Ta'ala is the one who gave me my everything. Everything I have is because of Allah. If I disobey him and I go towards sin and haram, what will Allah Ta'ala do to me? Maybe I'll die without Islam. Maybe I'll die without the kalima. Maybe my entire life will be ruined." And many times when a person commits zina, he goes with this girlfriend, whatever, and whatever. I have so many cases about this. This entire guy's life is ruined because he just wants to be with this one girl. His mom and dad don't even talk to him anymore. He lost his job. He lost everything. Because why? Because he's handcuffed to this one woman. It's very sad. It's very unfortunate. But may Allah save us and protect us from that. Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, Ma'ad Allah. And anytime you get that feeling of sin, go to your happy place. Tell yourself, I'm with Allah Ta'ala right now. I'm not here right now. I need to book it. This laptop is telling me to do haram. These pictures make me do haram. I'm ready to go. Allah Ta'ala records the story of a youth in deen, of Yusuf alayhi salam, the way he was able to fight off all of these temptations. And the final thing I want to mention, inshallah Ta'ala, is Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's building the Kaaba, And this is a very important reminder in deen. When you want to build deen, you don't just take the elders, you have to take the youngsters. Ibrahim alayhi salam was building the Kaaba. Very well, he could have done it himself. He could have built it in tithing himself. He could work on the foundation himself. But what does he do? He calls his son Ismail. He calls his son Ismail to come and help him. Because you need an elder and you need a youngster. In Islam, when you have elders and youngsters working together, Allah spreads hidayah. And that's why Ibrahim alayhi salam brought his son. He said, oh son, help me out. Let's build the Kaaba together. They both build it together. And because of that, make the dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Allah accept it from us, both of us. And because of that, youngster and elder, they all go to Hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember this point. That's why in Badr, you have elders in the back protecting the youth from running away. And you have the youth in the front protecting the elders from getting attacked. This is the way it is. But we have to make sure we're accommodating. May Allah give us all tawfiq to never be people who abandon or throw away the youth. If they want to do khidmah for the masjid, they want to serve the deen, we have to encourage them 100%, 200%, 300%, as much as we can, because this is the time that they want to help. And if you attract them now and their hearts become connected to the masjid, you don't have to do anything else. Because once you fall in love, the Habib will decide what the Mahbub will do, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. For those who make sunnah, give us inshallah.